This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Have you ever stopped to wonder what exactly success means to you? Is it money, fame, power, all of the above, or none at all? I'm Dashran Johan, and this is Redefining Success, a show where we speak to passionate people from various fields about their lives, what makes them tick, and what the word success means to them. My guest on today's show is a fitness coach, Irfan Rizkin. He's more commonly known as Riz. Welcome to the show, Riz. How do you define success? When you think of the word success, what does that mean to you personally?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. Well, growing up until now, I've always been greedy. So success has always been tied to money. But as I get older, as I get more mature, obviously the more income I make, the more successful I feel, but I do feel more fulfilled as well when I get to help more people. So meaning that the more I grow as a coach, the more I manage to help my clients achieve their transformation, get them to, you know, feel better and move better and get stronger. Yes, the money, it feels great, having more money, but the success feels a lot better once I get a lot of clients are constantly telling me that, thank you for helping me achieve my goals. So then when they leave me like all these reviews and all that, those give that warm butterfly feeling. Those I feel that is a big part of my success journey.
Why did you choose to become a fitness trainer, a fitness coach, be in this industry? Was it like you saw like the job market and thought, oh, okay, if I get into this industry, I can make a lot of money? Or was there something else that propelled you to become a fitness trainer?
No way. When I first started out, I make very little money. Yeah, right. I didn't even see it was something like I could make a ton of money. Before I became a fitness coach, I was actually in sales and business development. I was very driven by money, so I was doing a lot of sales and everything. But eventually, I felt burnt out, and I felt happier when I'm working out, when I spend more time at the gym and everything. And then it actually started out simple when I was offered to coach a fitness class in one of my old gyms. So it started out there. Then I felt really good actually when I actually enjoyed teaching the class. Mm-hmm. I actually enjoyed seeing them getting better, faster, fitter. It was a very fun, but I didn't do anything back then, like proper training and everything. I only knew based on what I learned from my MMA training.
Right.
So whatever I learned in MMA training, so I just applied it for that class. But then that piqued my interest to learn how to get stronger, how to get faster, how to get fitter properly. So from there, I decided, maybe since I like working out, since I like teaching, so why don't I just give it a shot? So I took a plunge and I decided to just quit my job and started to focus more on learning how to teach a class and then learning how to become a better PT. So I think that's when I started joining Revolution Republic in PJ. When I started doing the classes, I tried to analyze like their strength, how they program the classes, the strength portion, the conditioning. That really piqued my interest to, at the same time, I was very interested on how I can get stronger and faster as well. I wanted to compete. So essentially, like whatever I learned for myself, then I apply it to myself, I experiment, and then I would teach to the class.
When did your fitness journey actually begin?
On and off, I guess, in high school,
right?
I like YOLO stuff, and you go to the random high school gym, but you don't know what to do. You just try it out, then you injure yourself, and then you just stop for a while. And then I got into rugby for a while, so then learned a bit of conditioning from there, but didn't last that long. I only lasted like a few months, but then really got into fitness, I suppose, was maybe 2010 when my friend invited me to go for to try for a Muay Thai class. And then next thing boom, I really loved the class, the energy, learning how to do Muay Thai. I didn't realize it then, but eventually I actually realized more, I enjoyed more the working out part, the strength part, the conditioning part. So after the Muay Thai class, and then after the Muay Thai class, usually before or after Muay Thai class, usually there will be like a conditioning class. So I would join the conditioning class first. Actually, eventually, after a few months, I enjoyed doing more of that. So that maybe around 2010. But at the same time, I also wanted to explore, see how far I can go in doing this MMA thing. So I joined some MMA competition until in 2012. So it just slowly peaked until from 2010 until now. So I'm very vain. Mm-hmm. So when I realized that the more I do this, the better I look, the better I feel about myself. My confidence is will get a lot better. And I like the endorphin high that I get from doing all this workout. So obviously me now and me 2010, big difference. Mm-hmm. Like me 2010 until probably like a few years back, I will make sure I work out until I pass out on the floor, like dying and everything. So I really chase that endorphin high.
Right.
But what really propelled all that, there was on and off 2010 to 2016, but really like shot me through, like even up to the point where I quit my job to become a fitness trainer. Well, what propelled me to focus on fitness is the breakup. I had low self-esteem. And then as I looked a lot better, I felt a lot better. I had more confidence to, you know, approach women. I had more energy to, you know, be in a social group. So I felt like I was from an introverted person. I became a bit more extroverted. I think there was a point, it was a bit unhealthy as well. I was, because the more I work out, the more I look good. So I ended up becoming working out too much. But again, because I have some certain personality towards me that I addicted to the endorphin high. So I would just constantly chase it. And then it's a vicious cycle which propelled me to all this.
I think a lot of people perhaps don't, like when they look at fitness, they see it as you look better physically. And that is true, obviously. But people just think it's about that, right? But you are talking about, you know, how your breakup sort of motivated you to get into, you know, really working out and things like that. And, you know, get more serious about working out. You talk about how it builds your confidence. How does working out help people in that way? How did it help you?
As you can imagine, you know, going through a breakup, you will be swirling in a lot of negative emotions and all that. Mm-hmm. My workout was very anger driven.
Right.
Meaning that while I'm working out, I'll be like very angry. But after I get all the endorphin high, I feel great.
Right.
Yeah. So again, this is relating to back what I just said, that when you chase that endorphin high, so you just constantly, you want to feel great. I figured that I know it was not a good motivation to, you know, just constantly chasing the endorphin high, but I justified it then. It's better than me going, you know, drinking to the pub.
Absolutely.
To drown my sorrows. And yeah, so I figured that either I'm going to like wallow in my sorrows and be on just at home, do nothing and get fat, which actually I went through a few months of that actually. I just sat at home, just ate too much, which I gained weight up to, I think, about 108 or 110 kilos, I can't remember now. So it was very, very, I just let go. It's like after losing some weight for a while, and then my weight just shot up to like 110.
Mm.
So I figured that at that point, enough was enough. I had to make a change. And yeah. That's how it went. So I used a lot of negativity to fuel my workouts. But looking back, I would recommend people try not to use negativity to fuel their workouts, actually.
How were you during your schooling days? Did you get good grades? What were your interests and ambitions back then?
I was actually very mediocre during mm-hmm. school. When I was in school, I studied in Manchester. I followed my mom. When she did her PhD in Manchester, so I followed my mom. Growing up there, I was pretty much mediocre, really. Nothing special, nothing too good, nothing too bad. My interests and ambitions back then, honestly, I wanted to become a lawyer. after high school, I came back to Malaysia and I said, okay, you know what, I'll try to become a lawyer. And I did my A-levels and reality hit, like how dry it is to become a lawyer. It was so boring. I gave up after my A-levels. So, but the problem is when I gave up in my A-levels, I didn't know what to do. So when I jumped around some jobs trying to find my interest and everything, then when I started picking up some sales job, surprisingly, at a gym, and that piqued my interest to become more into sales. I figured that I enjoy talking to people, finding out, analyzing people, and then trying to find out their concerns and see if I can help solve the issue by, you know, selling my product.
How did your parents react when you told them eventually, I want to become a fitness trainer? I think I found what I want to do. I found what I'm passionate about. Perhaps I found what I believe I'm good at, because you said you really enjoyed teaching that first class. Did you have conversations about this with your parents? How did they react?
They were actually quite happy and surprised but happy, because they know how much I enjoy working out and everything, and they know how much time I spend at the gym. They were more surprised I didn't, start becoming a fitness trainer earlier.
Right.
But there were the main concerns were, of course, they asked me, is this going to be a stable job? How are you going to make money? How are you going to survive and everything? So I did address their concerns and everything. And it took probably 5 years, but I managed to show them that, it actually all worked out very, very well in the end.
Talk to me about that 5 years, because there was a point where you said, okay, this is something I can do. I'm going to quit my job and focus on this. Was that an easy decision to make?
It was, and it wasn't, because I knew that I didn't want to do the sales anymore. I already had in mind, I was talking to my colleagues, my ex-colleague and everything, and some of my friends said, I don't think I want to do sales anymore. I'm feeling burnt out and everything. But I did tell them my plans, whether I want to become a fitness trainer. Superficially, they said that I should be a personal trainer. But I couldn't take their advice seriously, because none of them are a personal trainer. And none of them know what will happen if I become a personal trainer. So I was actually very, very, very lost and very reluctant to quit my job. But then after talking to this gym owners that I go to Ref Republic, then I actually saw what is the career path, what is the goal and everything. At that time, the gym owners were charging, I think, about 200 or 250 for personal training sessions. And for someone who has never coached PT before, and then charging that amount of money, and then calculating the amount of hours they put in, everything. I said, wow, there's a big amount of money. I said, okay, there's potential to be made there. And then they said that if I'm willing to, to learn, they're willing to teach.
Right.
So when they said that, I said, let's do it. Yeah. So after I quit my job, I chilled for a while. I analyzed, I went to the gym and to see how they operate and everything. And I took the plunge, became a part-time trainer there. And everything is history.
On the show with me today is fitness coach Irfan Rizkin. After the break, I ask him about the challenges of being a fitness coach. We'll be back with more on Redefining Success, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Redefining Success. I'm Dashran Johan. And on the show with me today is Irfan Rizkin. He's more commonly known as Riz. He is a fitness coach. So, Riz, right. Talk to me a little bit more about that five-year journey. Because I think, like you said, you saw there's a lot of money to be made in fitness, especially these days where, fitness has become a little bit of a trend. And that's, I think it's an excellent thing that it's, if many things become a trend, if something that's going to give you health benefits becomes a trend, why not, right? So that's great. But obviously, people can't just be I want to become a fitness trainer and then the next day start making $250 an hour a session, right? It doesn't work that way. It takes a lot of experience. Talk to me about the moment, you took your first step to the point where I was like, okay, wow, okay, I've done this now. Now I'm at the point where this is a solid career and now I can continue building on this and building on this and perhaps even grow even more, right? But what was that journey like, going from, you know, just deciding that, okay, maybe this is something that I can do, to actually becoming sort of an established fitness trainer?
Oh man, that was a long, long journey. Mm-hmm. So, like I said earlier, so I started as a part-time trainer at REF, but right. Also I was still, when I was becoming a part-time trainer, I was also teaching a class in Kota Kemuning.
Right.
So there was I would run around between Kota Kemuning and PJ REF. That probably lasted almost a year. But in between that, I got lucky that I managed to secure my first two PT clients. One of them, who has stayed with me until today, which I'm very, very thankful for. But it was very grueling. So I had to, you know, breathe through the jam, plan the hours and everything, being in Kota Kemuning, so impressive. And then do my PTs outside. So I had to go Kota Kemuning, PJ, Bangsa, and then KL. That lasted for about a year and everything. So, and even then, the income wasn't great. Like, I think, like, I can be frank with you, like, mm-hmm. Just by those four, I was barely probably like 3, maybe 3, 5. Even then, like, on, like, let's just say, like, my client decides to go, hey, I'm going on holiday, so I'm going to take a break for a while. I'm like, I'll be over.
Right.
Then, so I had to try to figure out how to securing more clients and everything. So when my clients went on holiday, like, reality hit me, like, I said, here, great. So I need to find more clients.
Right.
So I managed to, so I tried to approaching more people at more the Kota Kemuning gym and at the PJ gym. And then slowly I accumulated, managed to get more clients and here and there. So I managed to build some reputation as a coach there. At the same time, also, I managed to build a reputation as a group class coach.
Mm-hmm.
So between Kota Kemuning and PJ. So this all started 2016. And then on 2018, when I saw there was opening at the Playground Fitness.
Right.
Yes. So it's a very famous boutique gym.
Mm-hmm.
So they were looking for group coach. They were looking for a personal trainer coach to teach group class and PT and everything. So what actually really piqued my interest to join them was in that Facebook post, was that the opportunity for growth in education and obviously, the another one, they said, like, one of the most competitive rate for PTs and everything. At the point when I saw it, was, I felt like I got lucky because I felt like I hit a cap when it comes to my knowledge growth.
Right.
I feel that at that point, I've already learned as much as I could from the gym owners. I've already understood why they do all the programmings and everything. So, but I didn't know how to grow beyond that. So then, when Playground offered me that position to become a PT coach, and I took it. I felt very hard leaving my other two jobs, the Kota Kemuning and the PJ Ref gym.
Right.
Because I felt very grateful to the mentors and everything. But ultimately, I decided that, you know, I needed to grow. 2018 until 2020, I stayed with Playground Fitness. So I learned as much as I could. And then I decided, up to a point during the MCO, that I figured it was time for me to leave and to grow even further, because I felt like my income and my education growth was capped.
Right.
So every time I feel like I'm capped, I feel very stagnant. I feel very restless. So that's when I needed a change. That's why I left and I started my own thing. Yeah. So here I am, 2022. Built by Riz is very, very new. I'm still trying to establish my brand, but I would definitely say I'm more successful than I am when I first started out. That's for sure.
Talk to me a little bit about your brand and also your philosophy of fitness.
So now, whenever, like, a client comes to me, I will get them to answer a questionnaire. But and then after they answer the questionnaire, everything, I will try to ask them, why? Why are you doing this? I'll try to get them, okay, if they say, I am trying to lose 10 kilos. Mm-hmm. I say, why do you want to lose 10 kilos? Because I want to look better. I say, why do you want to look better? So I'll try to find out the reason why. They say, I want to look better, so I feel a lot better. So what if you feel a lot better? Then what will happen? So they said that one of my clients will say that, okay, when I feel better, I get more confidence, I can work better, I get to, you know, my quality of life becomes a lot better. So then I know that it's, when it comes to working out, it's, I want to know the main reason why they're working out. It's not just like a simple, superficial reason. So if they're, my niche right now is body transformation. When it comes right. to losing, when it comes to losing weight or building muscle, you know, just to, but a certain niche like on getting stronger, a certain niche on moving better and all that. So my niche is more on just getting them to look better. So I really want to understand why they want to look better, okay, and what are they willing to do to look better? Whether are they willing to take the, are they just doing it just for, you know, for fun? Are they doing it? Because if it, some people are doing it like, oh, I just want to do it because, you know, I just feel like it. So those are kind of clients where when I talk to in the consultation session, I would say, like, I don't think we can work because I don't think that, I don't say it to their face usually, but I know that this thing is not going to last for a while.
Right.
And then when, yeah, so when, if their reasoning doing this is not strong enough, is when they don't achieve their goal, usually what's going to happen is that the client's going to blame the trainer.
Right.
So yeah. So I. So when. So these are the kind of things that I coach the other coaches and PG as well. Like, if their reasoning is not strong enough, I would advise them not to take on the client. So my approach when it comes to fitness, if they have strong enough reason to do it, and it's a positive reasoning to do it, then I know it's sustainable. So my approach right now is all about sustainable fitness. So positive emotions, positive reasoning to do a body transformation is most likely to have a long-lasting effect or more sustainable kind of way.
When you look at your job, when you look at fitness training, fitness coaches in general, what exactly do you think a role of a fitness trainer is?
To answer this question, actually, my previous head coach actually told me this.
Right.
The role of a fitness trainer is a problem solver.
Right.
They come. They have a problem, then they come to you to solve it because they cannot solve it themselves. So the problem may go beyond just, you know, trying to lose weight. The problem, maybe they need accountability. Maybe they need, you know, someone to be there to make sure they show up to the gym. Maybe they need someone to help them to not crash diet, because some people know that, you know, more often than not, if you want to lose weight, you just don't eat. Or, you know, or eat very less, but properly on how to not eat so much or how to be in a calorie deficit, there's an art to it. Okay. Otherwise, that's how people end up yo-yo dieting, going up and down. They eat very little and then they gain so much weight after that. They eat very, you know what I mean?
Right.
The role of a fitness trainer, I believe, is to solve them, to solve their problem, but in a very customizable way, meaning that you must understand the concerns and the reasoning behind the client in order for you to solve their problem efficiently.
You know, to maintain a certain level of physique, or not just from an aesthetic perspective, you know, from a fitness level, to maintain a certain level of fitness, to maintain a certain level of strength, just how dedicated and determined you have to be on a daily basis, or at least on a consistent basis?
Okay, for a personal trainer, you don't have to look the part.
Right.
Okay. But it helps.
Okay.
Unfortunately, because the fitness industry is very superficial. So if you look the part, more often than not, people say, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about because, you know, he looks the part. But I do know a lot of people who looks the part but knows close to nothing when it comes to coaching someone.
Mm-hmm.
So be wary of that. But although I said that, that is the reason why I do workout, because I want to look the part. So people have, you know, have some trust on knowing that, say that, that I know what I'm talking about. But at least I do learn to make sure that I know, I have the knowledge to support whatever that, you know, right, goes beyond it. But for me to maintain, so in the beginning, when in my competitive days, I would have to train like twice a day, like six, like 5 to 6 days a week, probably about two and a half hours per session. So I was a very competitive CrossFit athlete.
Right.
So, and then also a powerlifting athlete back then. When I was very competitive, when I was trying to win a lot of competitions, so I knew the amount of work I had to put in. I wasn't focusing on the aesthetic part at all, but just the aesthetic came as a bonus.
Right.
So I was focusing on the performance and everything. So that took me about, I think for 2 years plus, I was doing that. But now, right now, I to maintain my current physique, I would need maybe like a minimal three. I try to make sure I work out at least 4 times a week. That's for sure. When it comes to strength training and everything, compared to last time, 6 times a week. Sorry, 6 days a week, twice a day.
Right,
big difference. Yeah, but also right now because I preach sustainability as well as part of my branding and everything. So, for a general population, depending on their training age. So once they achieve their, let's say their dream physique, for example, if you work out 3 to 4 times a week, assuming you are already like in the intermediate level, intermediate level.
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably 3 to 4 times a week is great.
Right.
But for someone who is still a beginner or maybe like in the elderly category and everything, 2 to 3 times is okay. So it depends on your current circumstances that you have and what kind of expectations that you have. But for general population, I would say anywhere between 2 to 4 times a week, strength training is fine.
You've been a trainer for a few years now. What has been the biggest challenge or challenges of being a fitness coach? And on that same note, what is the biggest joy of being a fitness coach?
Biggest challenges for me back then and now are two different things. So for me back then was acquiring clients, finding leads. Yeah. So as a freelance personal trainer, it's going to be very challenging for you to find leads if you don't know how to market yourself, if you don't know how to use social media, if you have no like reference and everything. It can be very challenging. But I think I would assume it will apply to most people right now. But my current challenge as a trainer right now is actually not having enough time for myself.
Explain that a little bit. Why don't you have time for yourself?
Okay, so once you are more established in the industry, you get to choose how many hours you coach, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone who's very financially driven, you want to chase the hours. So,
right.
Like when I was working in Playground, for example, the longest I worked in a day was, I think it was 11 or 12 hours, like back to back. Like you start from 6 a.m., then you start coaching, then you have a quick lunch and everything, then you coach. So that can lead to a massive burnout. And then because of that, I actually hated my job for a short while. So I took a step back and I realized, okay, you know what? I have to cut down my coaching hours. I will lose a bit of money, but I rather do that. I rather lose a bit of money than stop and then hate my job or hate what I do right now. But because of finding the balance of coaching and then at the same time, my trying to build my online brand, does take up a lot of time. At the same time, I'm doing my courses on my nutrition and everything. So a lot of it has been focused on just work. And
right.
Finding time to do my own thing can be a bit challenging.
How do you measure growth?
So personally, right now, my growth, I measure by financials. I measure like the income I'm earning.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some mini goals I set for myself, like every few years, okay, the income I want to achieve. So like when I started out, I wanted to make sure I hit at least, you know, in my own perspective, I said, okay, if I hit 5,000, great, that's a mini goal already. Then my next goal is I want to hit double of that. That's when I started, managed to hit double of that, great. Then I want to see if I can hit, like, you know, my next goal will be double of that.
Right.
So that's how I, but eventually, if you are going back to the limitations of a trainer, once, because your hours are limited, so the income growth will also be limited as well, which is why now I measure my growth not just by the amount of hours I coach. Now I measure my growth by the expansion of my online coaching business as well.
I think that this idea of online coaching really became popular during the height of the pandemic, especially. Was it difficult? Is it difficult now because you are continuing doing online coaching? Do you have to change your approach to training when it comes to online versus in person?
Oh, when, you know, when MCO hit, it was a true challenge.
Right.
But those, especially most of us who were not used to online coaching, like we did, like the only way of online coaching that we knew of, like whatever you do one-on-one, like live, you try to do it behind the screen. You get what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So when you try to do that, the challenges that we faced was, you know, the limitation of equipment. So because of that, you try to figure out, okay, what can we do that, you know, that we can get the client enough stimulus for workout that is not too easy, but it's not too challenging as well, to make sure that they don't injure themselves. So at least, because if it's one-on-one, if the client is right in front of me, I can immediately fix their form and everything. But if it's at, the problem is when it's behind the camera and it's only a certain angle, there'll be like plenty of things that we will miss. So, and then because also it was online, we couldn't charge as much. That was another factor that affected us as well. So now, after I researched more about online coaching and everything, so I choose my clients, instead of accepting everyone, I would choose my online clients based on the training experience, based on the equipment available, obviously, and based on their goals and everything. So rather than me coaching them one-on-one like this, like conversation we have right now, I will actually get them to, I'll create a Facebook account. Just, let's say you sign up with me as an online coach, online client. So I will create a Facebook account between you and I. That will be private, that's between you and me. Okay, so in that Facebook group, what's going to happen is that you are going to go live. Once you go live, the video will be automatically uploaded in that group. So it's private. Only you can see, and I can see it. So then, because it's private, and then because now they can do the workout whenever they want. It doesn't have to be your time. It doesn't have to match my timing and your timing. They can do the workout whenever they want. So once they're done with the workout throughout the week, I will then review all the videos that they uploaded, and then once a week we will catch up, and then I will say, okay, this is what you did wrong, this is what you did right, this is what you need to improve and everything. So it becomes less one-on-one, but it becomes more like once a week kind of thing where we get to catch up everything. So it saves up a lot of time, but it becomes a bit more efficient. So that's how I change my approach from regular one-on-one online coaching to more like, how do I say it, like a pure virtual coaching, like a once a week kind of thing.
Right. All right. Before we wrap this conversation up, what does it feel like doing something you love?
Oh, it feels great. It's like, I've honestly, because I managed to... So the place that I work at, I mean, the gym that I'm currently at right now, this is my own place. So I renovated the living room of a bungalow in Bangsa.
Right.
And then into a gym. So my clients come to me. So in the aspect where I live... pretty much live at the gym. So the gym's upstairs, my bedroom's upstairs. So I get to the work-life balance is still there. So I don't have to spend so much time traveling. And mm-hmm. I know that what I'm doing is working. And I do get I get assured from my clients that when I see the transformation and everything. So that keeps me going. And then that gives me the confidence to, you know, try to grow my business, try to grow my brand and everything. And I know that, let's just say, if MCO happens again, or if anything happens that I have to move to another country, it's because I love this thing. I know I can see it. I can do this for like until I grow very, very old. Even if I move to another country, I can restart all over again. No issue.
On that note, Riz, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
That was Irfan Rizkin, a fitness coach. You can follow him on Instagram at FeedTheRiz. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can check us out on podcasts. We're available on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashran Johan, and this has been Redefining Success, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.